بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This is our seventh, وعليكم السلام, seventh session for Arabic lessons in fiqh, يعني for the second level, المستوى الثاني. And today we're doing the fifth subject or the fifth topic, صفة الصلاة, يعني which means the description of the prayer, description of the prayer, يعني the, يعني صلاة, نعم. Last week I think we read this, but maybe we might have read it a little bit quickly, so we're going to take our time and read it again today, and translate and see, يعني if there are some points that need clarification. Okay, somebody start reading, first line or so. نعم, Musa.
ينوي الصلاة.
ينوي الصلاة, meaning? He makes intention for the prayer. Yanwi, from nawa, yanwi. Fi'l mudari means he intends. He makes intention for salat. Yani the first thing, a person has to have intention, right? There's no act of worship except it has to have intention. Okay. Keep reading. Go ahead.
Yastaqbilu al-qiblata.
Yastaqbilu al-qiblata. Meaning?
He faces the prayer direction.
He faces the prayer direction. The qibla, the prayer direction, the direction of prayer, meaning what are we facing in prayer? The Kaaba. Or yani if you are there in the Masjid al-Haram, you'll be facing the Kaaba. Otherwise, we're facing Mecca. We're facing Mecca. Yani we're not able to face the Kaaba. We don't have a clue where it's at, but we have a general idea, right? That the Kaaba is in Mecca. If you're facing Mecca, that's what's required. Unless you are in the sacred Masjid, then you have to face the Kaaba. Yani bi'ayni. And you have to face the actual Kaaba. But otherwise, yani, if you are in the city of Mecca, you can face the sacred masjid. If you're outside, you face Mecca. Alright, so the Qibla, the direction of prayer, is the Kaaba. Or, generally speaking, it is Mecca. He faced the Qibla. No.
Because you know, Mecca in Saudi Arabia is just real close. So maybe if you're in
Mecca in Saudi Arabia? No. Is close? Close to what?
No, I mean it's... If you're outside Mecca,
okay.
You know,
now,
okay. So because usually we face the east. Well, east.
Yeah, that's what we say, we face the east, but we don't really face the east, right? We face Mecca.
No,
yeah, it depends on where you're at. Mecca may be south, could be north.
Right.
Yeah, and if a person is in Medina, they don't face the east. They face Mecca. They face south.
Okay.
Face south. If a person is in Yemen, they face north. They don't face east, right? So we say that we face east. Generally speaking, from here, it's sort of east something, right? But we don't say, yani the Qibla, you face east. Don't say that, because if you're in Yemen, you're facing north. If you're in Medina, you're facing south. If you're in Syria, no, it depends on where you're at. Okay, it's not east. But what we're actually facing, okay, I'm sorry, but I'm just trying to clarify, because sometimes we do get confused about that. We say we face east, because we're in America, we're used to saying we face east. But rather, we're facing Mecca now. Okay, face where the sun is rising from.
So countries like, maybe let's say, if you're in China, then you facing where the sun rises is kind of the same as the person on maybe around here facing the same direction. So, or is it they'll be facing, because Mecca is going to be somewhere in the middle. So
Mecca is in the middle, in the center of the earth.
No, so, you know, is it like they'll be facing this way while these are facing here?
Yeah, of course, because they'll all be facing Mecca.
Yeah.
So it's the same as if you're in the sacred masjid, right? Then people are around the Kaaba. So some of them are facing those people, and those people are facing these people, and those people are facing the others, and like that. Everybody is facing the Kaaba. So in this way, everybody in the world is facing Mecca, the same way. But they are not all... they are not all yani facing east or all facing west or all facing north. Everybody's facing according to where they are. Different directions, right? But all going towards, that's why I'm saying that we're facing Mecca. We don't say east or west or north or south. Say face Mecca. Because it depends on where you're at. It could be east, it could be west, could be north, could be south. So the people in China, they have to face Mecca. And the people in South America, they have to face Mecca. And the people in Yani East Africa have to face Mecca. Everybody wherever they have to face Mecca. Whether it's east or north or south or west, doesn't matter, it's facing Mecca.
So it's not based on where the sun is rising.
It's not based on where the sun is rising. It's based on where you're at. Yani, you have to face Mecca. That could be, like we said, yani, whichever direction it is, north, south, east, or west, is facing Mecca. Naam, wa iyyakum. Okay, so yastaqbil al-qibla, he's facing the qibla, the direction of prayer, Mecca or the Kaaba, more specifically if you are yani, seeing it. Read again, Musa.
Yastawi
qa'iman. Yani, istawa, yastawi. Yastawi means what? Yani, he stands straight up. Upright, standing upright. Qa'iman. Yani, he's upright, standing upright. Yastawi qa'iman. Okay, somebody else read. Naam, Abu Bakr. Fayyib. Let's look at this a little bit, right? Let's try to pay attention to some of the words since we're not familiar with them. Yarfa'u yadayhi. Meaning? He raises his two hands. Yadayhi is dual, right? It's yadayn. 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 Yani, originally it's yadayn, which is, in this sentence, it would be the object of the verb. Yani, the maf'ulun bi. So it would be mansub, yadain, but the noon is deleted because it's in idhafa to the pronoun he, which originally is who, but it became he because it's preceded by ya with sukoon, right? So, yarfa'u yadehi, he raises his two hands, or her two hands, hadwa mankibayhi. That's a kasra on the cat, mankibayhi. Mankib. Mankib means the shoulder. Mankibayhi, yani originally mankibayhi is mankibayn, dual, mankibayn, the noon again is deleted because of an idhafa to the pronoun. Okay, hadwa means up to the level of, hadwa mankibayhi, up to the level of his shoulders. Yani the person raised their hands up to the level of their shoulders. And in some narrations it says what? Aw ila furu'i udhunayhi, or up to the tips of the ears. Yani, hadwa here means up to the level of. And hadwa mankibayhi, we're also saying the same thing. Aw ila furu'i udhunayhi, or up to the tips of the ears. And this, there's no indication in any of the hadith that touching the ears or touching the shoulders. Rather, it's up to the level of the shoulders or the level of the ears. It doesn't. There's no indication in any of the hadith that when you raise your hands in the beginning of the salat that you have to touch your ears. And this is very common that people are touching the ears. And that's not indicated. Yeah, some people even holding the ears.
And their hands are wrong too.
And they're doing all kind of stuff, right? Anyway, I mean, I'm just saying, yani, okay, so raising the hands up to the level of the shoulders, or, meaning that it came in the hadith that the Prophet ﷺ raised up to the level of the shoulders or the level of the ears. Both of them are correct. Okay, so that's why it says, aw, or, to the tips of the ears. And again, udhunayhi, yani, originally it is udhunayn. Udhunayn, but the noon is deleted because of idhafa to the pronoun he, which is originally who. Udhunayhi. Wa yukabbiru, and then he says Allahu Akbar. Says Allah is the greatest. Yukabbiru, kabbara, yukabbiru means to say Allah is the greatest. To say Allahu Akbar. So he raises his hands up to the level of the shoulders or level of the ears, and then says Allahu Akbar. And in some of the narrations of the hadith, yani, Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah mentions the Sifat al-Salat that sometimes the Prophet ﷺ raised the hands and then said Allahu Akbar, and sometimes he said Allahu Akbar and then raised the hands. And sometimes he did them simultaneously. And he said Allahu Akbar while raising the hands. And all of that is from the Sunnah. All of it is permissible. And yani, we should do each one of them sometimes, right? So that we implement all of the Sunnah. Raise his hands up to the level of shoulders, the level of ears, and says Allahu Akbar. Naam. Furu means, yani, furu is, far is the opposite of, yani, asl. Yani, Furoo means edges or the extremities of something. The edges or extremities. The level of the chest, I haven't seen it. No, have you seen it or heard that?
I read it a long time ago, Sifat al-Salah.
And Sifat al-Salah?
But I don't remember exactly. I thought you mentioned
Okay, we have to check that, okay? Because I've read Sifat al-Salah hundreds of times.
Okay, so that's
and I don't remember reading that. But I myself have had the experience of telling somebody that there's something in the Sunnah and it's in Sifat al-Salat. And they told me they read Sifat al-Salat. And they didn't see it. But then, of course, we'll go back and find it. We know it's there for sure. So I'm saying it's possible that maybe we missed it. We forgot it or something. But let's go back and check. I don't recall ever reading that. What is well known? He's up to the level of the shoulders or the ears. That's what's well known. Anyway, if there's another narration, let's look for it. And then if we find it, we can bring it back. If we don't find it, we'll just go with what we have here. Level of shoulders or level of the ears. And then saying, Allahu Akbar Naam.
I just wondered, why is it you
kabbiru? Dawood, right?
You, yes.
Yeah, why is it you kabbiru? This is a very good question. I'm glad you asked it, because I would never have thought to mention it. كبر يكبر يكبر. He said, why is it you كبر? Okay, the vowel here dhamma, yani mostly we saw in verbs the mudari verb begins with fatha, right? يكتب يدخل يجلس. Why is this dhamma? Anybody know why it's dhamma? Because this is from the verbs of mazid that have extra letters. Okay, there's an extra letter here with the shadda, right? Instead of having triliteral, kabara is kabara. When verbs have extra letters in them, from the mazid verbs, if they have four letters, as in this one here, then the first letter for the mudari letter is going to be dhamma instead of kasra. It's because it has four letters. Because it's a mazid verb, yani a verb that has increase of letters. Okay? Yeah, in other words, we have verbs that just have three letters, triliteral, right? And then we have, like, a second form of the verb is fa'ala, when the second letter is doubled with shadda. And then we have, yani, fa'ala, where there's an aleph added to it. And then we have af'ala, we have different forms of the verb, second, third, fourth form of mazid, where letters are increased. If there are four in the mazid, if there are four letters, the mudari letter takes dhamma. Otherwise, normally the mudari letter, the ya or the ta or the hamza or the noon, normally it takes fatha. But in the mazid verbs, if they have four letters, then it takes dhamma. All right?
Also, the wow. You instead of wa. You say you kabbiru.
You kabbiru. Why is it the ya?
Yeah.
Okay, because in the mudari verb, this is a mudari verb. In the mudari verb, we have a prefix added to the verb. Okay, like kharaja, you say yakhruju. That ya is used for the mudari. There are four mudari letters, right? There's ya, ta, a, hamza, and noon. So this is the mudari letter. The ya here is the mudari letter. Like the same way you say he went out, kharaja, he's going out, yakhruju. Ya, that ya is the mudari letter. Yani we are going out, nakhruju. I am going out, akhruju. So the I see. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't even pay attention to that. Thank you, brother. Okay, so in other words, you're saying that here in the book it says wa with dhamma.
Right.
Wa with dhamma. Okay. So actually, this dhamma should be, there's no vowel over the ya. There's no vowel. This is a mistake in the printing. This wow has dhamma. This dhamma belongs here over the ya. Okay, this is a mistake here. This dhamma on this wow, the wow out of end, yani it's supposed to have fatha. It has dhamma. That dhamma belongs here. It's just printing mistake. Yeah, I'm glad you pointed that out, because I didn't even notice that. I read this paper I don't know how many times. I didn't even see that. Okay, so alhamdulillah, please, if you see a printing mistake, point it out. So we can mention it, because sometimes people get confused when they see these mistakes and they're trying to figure out, well, what is it? Does it have some other meaning? It's not, it doesn't have any other meaning, it's just a mistake. So we need to point them out. So if you see any mistakes, you know, there are a lot of mistakes in the printing, okay? So if you see them, let's try to point them out so that, you know, people can be aware of it, okay? By the way, just before that, there's a printing mistake in the word before the waw. Udhunay, it has tanween on the hamza in udhunay. It has tanween. And that should be a dhamma there. Instead of tanween, it should be a dhamma. Udhunay. Udhunay. Now we're going to look a little more carefully now. Now we have to pay attention, all right? Okay, let's read on. Okay, we finished that line, right? He raises his two hands up to the level of the shoulders or up to the tips of the ears. And wa should be wa with fatta. Yukabbiru. And he says, Allah is the greatest. Allahu Akbar. Okay, next line. Somebody. Abdurrahman.
Yada'u yada'ul yumna ala yadihil yusra ala sadr.
Naam. Yada' with dad, right? Yada'u yadahu with del. Bad and del. Yada'u yadahu al yumna ala yadihi al yusra ala sadri. Ala sadri. Okay, yada is from wada'a, to put. Wada'a, to put. He puts yadahu, his hand, al-yumna, his right hand. Al-yumna is the feminine of yameen. Yumna is feminine, right? Because yad is feminine. Why is yad feminine? How do we know yad is feminine? Two, right? Two parts of the body. Yad is feminine. Yadahu al-yumna. Yumna is a not describing hand. Which hand? The right, his right hand. So he puts his right hand ala yadihi al yusra, up on his left hand. Ala yadihi al yusra is left hand. Yusra is a not describing yad. Ala as sadri, upon the chest. So he puts his right hand on his left hand upon the chest. Yusra, yasir, yeah, I mean yasar, yusra, left, feminine, right? Okay, next line. Next line. Yani should be on the chest. Yani the chest is up high, right? It's not down here. The chest is up here. But is it the middle of the chest, or the upper part of the chest, or the lower part of the chest? Yani according to Hanbali Madhab, it's the lower part of the chest. But Allahu A'lam, yani it's on the chest, that we know for sure. As far as specific, exactly on the chest, it doesn't appear to be any clear indication. But yani, I know, because we had some discussions with some of the Hanbalis, yani Ahl al-Ilm, and they insisted it has to be in the lower part of the chest. So, you know, we know that that's their madhab. But not any on the navel or below the navel, that's not from the sunnah for sure. Yani, this should be avoided, right? Because the hadith concerning below the navel, hadith of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, yani is not authentically narrated from Ali. It is not authentically narrated from Ali. We are not criticizing Ali, radiallahu anhu. We are saying it's not authentically narrated from him, because yani the narrator of the hadith, that hadith is in Abu Dawud or Tirmidhi. I'm not sure at the moment, but I think it's in Abu Dawud. And the narrator of the hadith, I mean the collector of the hadith, said that this hadith is yani mursal. That means this has a broken chain, so it's not authentic. So, yani, we say that, yani, there's a narration placing the hands below the navel, but it's not authentic.
I read it a long time, maybe I'm mistaken, but from what I remember, he prefers the opinion to, not the opinion of, you know, putting it on the chest, but, you know, like I said, the navel. And he brings the narration of Ali bin Abi Talib. So I was
yeah, we need to go back and look at it.
No,
in any case, yeah, I mean, it's generally agreed that the hadith is da'if. That hadith is da'if. I mean, that's generally agreed upon. The collector of the hadith himself says that it's da'if. And he's the one who collected it. He knows a little better than the people who came after him, whether or not it's daif. But in any case, it can be examined. And some, a lot of the contemporary scholars, most of the contemporary scholars of hadith, say the hadith is weak. So, these are things that there could be difference of opinion about, right? We don't get stuck on it, okay? We're just talking about Friday, right? We're just talking about Friday, right? That when there are difference of opinion in the subsidiary matters, yani especially in the yani fiqh, in the jurisprudence, then these are not matters that people yani should argue about and fight and dispute and have ill feelings and separate and divide up because of these matters, okay? These are not the matters that yani cause you to become a mushrik or a kafir or yani ahl bidah. These are secondary matters, especially if, as the Shaykh said, Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di said, especially if yani the Salaf themselves have different opinions concerning this. So if we find that Ibn al-Qayyim said yani that place it on the navel, yani that means that there's some difference of opinion about it. So that's not something that we get stuck on. We're not going to get stuck on that. Yani whoever thinks it's this one, whoever thinks it's that one, alhamdulillah, we have respect for each other. We retain each other's respect and honor, and we don't, you know, call people names and degrade people and all of that. That is really unnecessary. That's out of pocket, and you know, it's off limits. And the Shaykh said, this is dhulm, it's oppression, it's transgression, it's wrongdoing, it's injustice. So alhamdulillah, yani there's room for some difference of opinion in these matters. The scholars who differed about these matters, mashallah, they were mujtahid scholars. And so, yani if they were right, they get two rewards. If they were wrong, they get one reward for their ijtihad, for their sincere intent and striving to reach the truth, even if they erred. Allah still rewards them because what? Because the intent was really to seek the truth. And they made effort to do so, so Allah rewards them. They don't get punished. This is not a sin against them. Rather, this is something that they are rewarded for. Naam. Okay, after this, he puts his right hand on his left hand on the chest. Naam, somebody else? Shuaib. Tremendous dua. Yaqra'u du'a'a. Yani du'a'a here is the maf'ulun bi, mansub with fatha. Huh? He reads the du'a. Du'a'a. Du'a'a. Al-istiftahi is mudhafun ilayhi majroor with kasra. Huh? So he reads the supplication of the opening. Yani from fataha to open. Yani. Istiftaha. Yastaftihu istiftah. Okay, the dua for opening. And there are a number of them. So he says, mithla, like, yani for example, like, ayakul, that, like he, that he says, and this is an example of one of the opening supplications. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. What is the meaning? Yeah, it's generally translated as glorified is you, O Allah, wa bihamdika, and the praise is for you. We'll just comment here quickly and say subhana, yani subhana tasbih, the meaning of it, yani shar'i meaning of subhana is to declare Allah to be free from imperfections. To declare Allah to be free from imperfections. Yani al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, in his book on Salah, he says that the meaning of subhanallah, yani, or in this case, subhanaka, Allahumma, the meaning of it is to declare Allah to be free of imperfections. Yani, the meaning is subhanaka is like you're saying, you, O Allah, you are free from imperfections. You have no shortcomings, no defects, yani, and whatever has been falsely ascribed to him is negated when you say subhanallah or subhanaka Allahumma. Yani, it is a negation, the rejection of any kind of imperfection or anything that has been falsely attributed to Allah. So this is a beautiful, big meaning, a little bit more than just glory to you or glorified is you. A little bit more than that. Now, I mean, it's not, I mean, it's something, right? But it doesn't give you that meaning, right? Yeah, it doesn't give us the real full meaning, okay? So it's good to know. Because when you are praying and you're saying these things, you want to really be thinking about the full significance of what you're saying. This is a powerful statement. You're saying, Subhanakallahumma. We don't want to just pass over this word, glory to you, Allah. And this is tremendous. When you're saying Subhanak Allahumma, you're saying, oh Allah, I declare you to be free. And I acknowledge, I recognize that you're free of any imperfection, any defect, any shortcoming, and that you're free from everything that they have falsely ascribed to you. Having a son, having a wife, having whatever, all that stuff that they said is false. I declare you to be free from all of this. That's tremendous. That statement is tremendous. Nafi, naam. It is negation of all of those things that have been falsely ascribed to Allah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. And this is followed by declaring Allah to be worthy of all praise. So this is the negation of any imperfection and the affirmation of Allah's perfection. Why is Allah worthy of all praise? Because of His perfection. We declare Him to be free from imperfection. Therefore, He's worthy of all praise because of His perfection. Because of His perfection, and also because of yani His generosity and kindness and the bounties and favors and all of what He gives to the people. Not just because of His perfection, but also yani because of His asma and His sifat, and also because of His yani His generosity. His generosity, all of that. It's bad. Naam. There's negation of any imperfection, and then there's affirmation of perfection. Yani He being worthy of praise is because of His perfection. Naam. Wa tabaraka smuka. وَتَبَارَكَ أَسْمُكَ means what?
Blessed.
And blessed is your name. Yani, baraka, the meaning of baraka technically in the Sharia, yani means كَثْرَةُ الْخَيْرِ. كَثْرَةُ الْخَيْرِ meaning a lot of good. Yani that Allah's name is full of baraka. Yani His name brings good. Yani mention the name of Allah brings khayr to you. Naam.
It removes afat.
It removes afat. Naam. Naam. Ismuka, tabaraka ismuka, wa ta'ala jadduka, wa ta'ala jadduka. What is the meaning? Ta'ala jadduka. High, exalted is your majesty, jadduka. Naam, wa la ilaha ghayruka. And there's no ilah other than you. And there's nothing that deserves to be worshipped, that has a right to be worshipped. La ilah. And in the scholars of Sunnah, they say la ilah means la ma'bud bihaqin. And there's no ma'bud, anything that receives worship, bihaqin, yani by right, that has a right, or that is worthy of being worshipped. Other than you. Yani la ilaha ghayruka is like the same as saying la ilaha illallah. Naam. Yani la ilaha is nafi, negation. And illallah or ghayruka is affirmation. Yani there's no ilah, it's negation of anything that deserves to be worshipped. Ghayruka, except you. Yani besides you. That's affirmation of the right of Allah alone to be worshipped. After this, next line. Nasir? Oh, I'm sorry. Huh? Naam. Yani this, and it's for iftah. Yani the salat, but yani can a person say Subhanakallahumma bihamdika anytime? Sure, it's praise of Allah. Yani you can say it, but that's it. Specifically, should be said here. Yani it shouldn't be said in a place where something else is legislated to be said. But in general, dhikr in general, yani you can say any dhikr. Yani even if it's normally said in certain position, but you can say it in general. But don't say this when you're in prostration. Right? Because there's something legislated for prostration. There's something legislated for sitting, for standing, for bowing, right? So don't say something that's for here, put it here. Unless the Prophet ﷺ, he said sometimes in bowing, similar to what he said in prostration. Some adhkar, right? But otherwise, no. You can say it in general, but don't put it in a place where there's something also already legislated. Naam, Nasir?
Yaqra'u
It should be a shadda on the scene. Tayassara. Shadda on the scene. Fayyib. Yaqra'u Surat al-Fatihati. Meaning? He reads Surat al-Fatiha. Surat ta is maf'ulun bi mansoob with fatta. And Fatiha is mudafun ilayhi majroor with kasra. He reads the chapter of the opening, Surah Al-Fatiha. Wa suratan ukhra. Huh? And another surah. Wa suratan ukhra. And another surah. Aw, or ma tayassara minha. Or what is easy? Minha. From it, meaning what?
From the
Surah. From the Surah.
Another surah.
Another surah. Or whatever is easy from another surah. Not whatever is easy from Al-Fatiha. Ha here refers back to the Surah Ukhra. Yani after Al-Fatiha, read another surah in its entirety, or whatever is easy for you to read from it. From it, from the other surah. Okay? Taib, next line. Who didn't read yet? Who didn't read yet? Naam, Mustafa. ثلاثا نعم يكبر يعني from كبر يكبر he says الله أكبر الله is the greatest ويرفع يديه and he raises his two hands right both of them يديه ويركع
and he bows
يعني ركوع he bows in ركوع يركع ويقول and he says سبحان ربي العظيم سبحان ربي العظيم سبحان ربي العظيم ثلاثا meaning ثلاث مرات three times okay what is the meaning of سبحان ربي العظيم يعني ربي means what
my
رب huh? my lord and العظيم is a not describing رب Describing my Rabb. Yani my Rabb al-Azim. Yani Subhana, meaning I declare the imperfection of my Rabb al-Azim. The majestic or the great or magnificent Naam, Supreme.
Question. Why
Azima? Huh? Azima. Why Azima? Subhana Rabbi. Yani here. Yani the meaning of Subhana Rabbi is Usabbihu Rabbi. Yani the meaning of Subhana here is Usabbihu Rabbi. Meaning, Yani Usabbihu is the verb and Rabbi is the abjugative verb. Is the abjugative verb. Yani so Al-Azim also has to be mansub.
So the fail is Usabbih.
Yani the meaning of the taqdeer of Subhana, the meaning of it is Yani this is a masdar. But the original meaning of it is Ana usabbihu. It's a verb. And Yani Rabbi is the abjugative verb. Mansub. Naam. Usabbihu.
So, Azima again.
Yeah, Rabbi is Mansub. And Azim is a not describing Rabbi. So it's also Mansub, right? Jayid? Yani Rabbi is the maful and bi, mansub. And Azim is a not describing Rabbi, so it's also mansub. And the I'rab is taqdiri, right? Because you say Rabbi is mansub wa alamatu nasbihi hatta muqaddara. Because it's mudaf ila ya al mutakallim. Because it's mudaf ila ya al mutakallim. Taib, the fifth sentence, Naam, Abdul Kareem. Jayid. Yaqumu, yani meaning? He stands. Yani, in other words, after bowing, he rises up. Yaqumu, rises up. Wa yarafa'u yadehi, and raises his hands. Wa yaqulu, and he says, yani in other words, when he's rising up, from ruku, he also raises his hands. Okay? So that means you raise your hands when you go into ruku, and you raise your hands when you coming up from ruku. Naam, yaqumu wa yarfa'u yadayhi. He rises up and he raises his hands and he says, Sami'a Allahu liman hamidahu. Rabbana, Rabbana walakal hamdu. Okay?
Huh? Maybe more things added or
huh? They
have a dot dot dot.
Where's the dot dot dot?
The period or dot?
Oh, okay, yes, period. Alright, in any case, it's not necessary, right? I don't know why it's there. But he raises his hands and he says, Sami Allahu liman hamidahu. What is the meaning? Sami Allahu?
Allah hears.
Or Allah listens. Li men. To whoever. Hamidahu. Praises him. So Allah listens to whomever praises him. Okay? The scholars of Sunnah say Sami'a. Yani it doesn't just mean he hears, rather he responds. No. Sami'a wa ajaba.
I was going to ask, like, Sami'a, isn't that past tense?
It's past tense. Naam. Naam. Means, yani the meaning here in Allahu A'lam, yani he heard. Yani the usage here of past tense is to affirm the yani tahqiq that it happened. It's like when you say past tense, it means it already happened. So yani Allah is yani what we are saying here is that it's as though yani if you praise Allah, it's guaranteed. Yani it already happened. No, it didn't happen, right? But it's like the thing that already happened is finished. It's done. It already happened, right? It's not will he hear you? No, it's guaranteed because that's why the past tense is used here. To give the indication that it's not, you have to wonder, will he hear you? No. If somebody said, he already did it, that means it's done, right? So you don't worry about it, it's already done. That's the same as this meaning here. That's the meaning here. Past tense meaning here, to indicate tahqiq, that something is guaranteed. No, there are supplications in ruku more than what is here, and supplications in sujood more than what is here. So many more authentic supplications. Yani in ruku he said Sami Allah. He said, I mean, in ruku Subhana Rabbil Azim, and he also said Subuhun Kuddusun Rabbul Malaikati wa Ruh, and he also said yani a lot of different supplications, right? So there are many, huh? Huh? Summary, yeah, it's just basic, yani something that you say more common. That's the most common thing that's said. Naam, yakumu wa yarfa, sami Allahu liman hamida. Allah listens and responds to whoever praises him. So when a person is saying this, sami Allahu liman hamida, what should you be thinking? Allah is going to be listening to and responding to me when I praise him. So then what should you do? Praise Allah. Praise Allah. So after that you say what? Rabbana wa lakal hamd. Rabbana, that's praise of Allah. Rabbana wa lakal hamd. And there are also supplications that the Prophet said along with this, long, lengthy supplications. Yani, some of them. Hamdan kathiran, tayyiban, mubarakan fi, mil as-samawati, wa mil al-arub. وما بينهما ومن لما شئت من شيء بعد أهل الثناء والمجد حق يعني to the end, a lot of supplications that are mentioned in the authentic sunnah. طيب, so ربنا means يا ربنا, oh my lord. يعني after saying Allah listens to the one who praises him, then you're saying ربنا, يعني the reason why ربا is فتح because it is the منادى مضاف. Yani, because the meaning is Rabbana, the meaning is Ya Rabbana. So the word that comes after Ya is Munada. If it's Mudaf, then it's Mansub with Fatah. So it's like we are saying Ya Rabbana. Naam. O our Lord. Walaka alhamd. Walaka alhamd. Naam. So the meaning is Yani Anta Rabbuna. Walaka alhamd. Yani the meaning is Anta Rabbuna. That's one statement, right? And then, wow, that's a new statement. وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ. You are our Rabb, and for you is the praise. And this goes back to what Abu Bakr mentioned earlier. لَكَ الْحَمْدُ is what? Is حَصَر. And instead of saying الْحَمْدُ لَكَ, because the origin of this sentence, الْحَمْدُ is the مُبْتَدَى, and لَكَ is the شِبْ جُمْلَى. يعني خَبَر, مُقَدَّم. So, وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ, meaning exclusively for you is the praise. Exclusively for you is the praise. Walak alhamd. And then number six, next sentence, number six. Naam, who didn't read yet? Who wants to read? Who didn't read?
Okay,
Anybody want to read? No, Muhammad. Javed. Am I pronouncing that right? Javed? It's pronounced like V, right? Oh, I don't know. Because sometimes I hear people pronounce it like W, some words. No, I'm just asking. I'm just asking because I feel a little uncomfortable saying it. I'm not sure if I'm saying it correctly. Taib, now. جيد يكبر meaning again he says Allahu Akbar Allah is the greatest ويسجدو and prostrates ويقول and he says سبحان ربي الأعلى يعني again سبحان is أسبح I declare you O my Rabb to be free of any imperfections يعني my Rabb who is الأعلى الأعلى is a not describing ربي ربي الأعلى ثلاثا ثلاثة مرات three times and here I want to note that يعني there's an authentic hadith Shaykh al-Albani رحمه الله mentions it I don't remember in which book but in any case يعني we can look for it and try to provide it يكبر ويسجد يعني he mentions a hadith in which it's reported that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم would say the takbir ثم يسجدو and then يعني after saying takbir he would prostrate meaning that the takbir is not said while you are going down to prostration rather it's said completed and then after that prostration and the same thing from sitting when you're rising from it يعني ثم يعني the word is used in some of the narrations I think it's I can't remember now which book But in any case, I did make a note of it. I have it, any of the notes on it, and perhaps I'll send it to the class because it is a great benefit. And it's not something, again, that we're going to argue over, right? Because most of the scholars and use the narration that say, يُكَبِّرُ حِينَ يَسْجُدُ would suggest the meaning of that he's saying takbir while he's going down. Huh? But that particular narration, which is authentic, no doubt, its interpretation, scholars have interpreted it in a number of different ways. So because of that confusion, yani this narration, ثم, yani is very much more clear and you know so it is better that a person says Allahu Akbar and then prostrates and Allah knows best. Inshallah somebody send me a reminder, I'll send you some notes on this particular topic that really and it brings some clarity, hopefully it'll be of some benefit. In any case, it's a difference of opinion. It's not something that makes the prayer valid or invalid or something like that. It's just a point of yani fiqh.
Naam,
of course, the people who are following, I mean, this is clear in the Sunnah. Yeah. Yani it's, the hadith concerning this are in the Sahih, in Bukhari and others, it's crystal clear. The companions of the Prophet, they never used to move until the Prophet, in this standing position, they said, we didn't move until his forehead was on the ground. Not like today, the people move with the imam at the same time. Some even precede the imam. Yani they're already in prostration before he gets to move good. Huh?
Now, the question was regarding, I just wanted, when you say Rabbana wa lakal hamd, if you just ended there, then you say Allahu Akbar, and then you move. That's what the narration is indicating?
Naam. Yeah, that after you say the supplication for rising, Rabbana wa lakal hamd, then once you're standing upright straight you say Allahu Akbar finish the saying that expression and then move and prostrate and if the imam is doing that the people shouldn't move until the imam's forehead is on the ground nobody should move with the imam
to avoid that I was told not to say this word to say it at the 11th hour like
Yeah, that's why I said.
Almost standing man, I should say, because I have super people behind me.
The way the scholars interpret it is different ways. They have two or three interpretations of it, and because of that, yani there's some confusion concerning the matter because there are different interpretations. But in any case, yani the people should not move based on what they hear. But rather the people should move on yani being sure. Yani the people who are in the first line can see the imam, and the people in the second line should follow the people in the first line. Nobody should move just because they heard the imam say something. Then they prostrate before the imam, or they rise up before the imam. This is really erroneous. It's clearly erroneous.
Yeah, sometimes should the imam take a fifth issue, like any, based on can he choose an opinion, for example, which came from the Salaf?
No.
He takes an opinion that, although he does not see it as correct, but because of the people who are behind him, he takes that opinion. You understand? So, like, for example, if he were to say Allahu Akbar when he is like, after he's done with Rabbana wa lakal hamd, he knows that some people they might not know and they will go to the sajda first. So, should he take the opinion that, I should.
Allahu A'lam, Allahu A'lam. I understand what you're saying. Yani should the Imam follow an opinion? If it's from the sayings of the Salaf, should he follow that opinion that's easier for the people or that's yani more suited for the people because he knows that they have some misunderstanding? Allahu A'lam, Allahu A'lam. But in my view, okay, if I may offer my view, but whatever it's worth, the Imam should do that which he believes to be closest to the sunnah, no matter what the people do. He should follow the sunnah. Oh, should he not care about the people? Sure, he should care about the people. Yani, it's not that difficult for him to educate them. He should educate the people. He's the imam. He's just leading the prayers. He should educate the people. This is the sunnah. These are the proofs. This is what I would be doing, and this is what you should do. And if the people just say, later for what you're saying, we're going to do what we want to do. So, then that's up to them. But should he, the imam, change what he believes to be correct in accordance with the sunnah to something that he believes is not according to the sunnah or it's not the closest to the sunnah or more correct because the people don't know what's right? No, the imam should not follow the people. The people should follow the imam.
But then follow up to that is when the imam, people of the sunnah, when he gets up from the second sajda, right? He actually sits down, and then when he's getting up, right? So I mean, I guess from what I understand, is that and from the second sajda when he comes up, he should say Allahu Akbar, and then the people who are with him should sit, right? And then he gets up, like I'm saying, in the first rak'ah or the third rak'ah.
Yeah. But
this is it is contrary to what should be done.
This is a big ikhtilaf. Okay. We have to make a class just for the fiqh of salah, and we have to go into the details of some of this. But let's keep it as simple as possible here, because really, yani we want to try to. We're not going to finish today, but yani the point is right that in reference to your question, I say my view is that the imam should follow the sunnah as best he knows, but he should educate the people if they're doing something different. He should educate them, okay. He should educate them. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he said, when some people ask him about an issue like this, he said, the imam, what is closer to the sunnah is to pray 11 rak'ah. But the imam should educate the people first. If they're used to praying 21 rak'ah, he should educate them before he does something, and then yani discuss it with them and let them express their opposition and prove to them what's right, and then he should do it. He shouldn't just don't care about the people. But he also shouldn't abandon what he thinks is the sunnah because the people don't know. Rather, he should educate the people. Okay, so there are some things that the people are not used to. The imam should educate them, bring proofs and evidence as best he can. If he's right, he should show them. If they are right, then he should change his way and follow what is right. But he should have discussion with the people, educate the people, have dialogue, make it clear to them what he's doing, why he's doing it, and hopefully the people will follow that which is right. And we shouldn't just leave people in their misguidance just because that's what they've been doing for a long time. And really, if we follow the sunnah, maybe it'll cause confusion for them. Yani, the sunnah doesn't cause confusion. Not teaching the people may cause confusion. And Allah knows best. In any case, we have just a minute remaining, or we really don't even have a minute remaining. Tayyib, Allahumma musta'an. You want to read the last one, Ibrahim? Okay, give us 1 minute so we can read the last one. This is sentence number 7. Oh, I don't know, it's not sentence number 7, but anyway, it's somewhere down there.
Very important.
Okay, Ibrahim.
Yukabbiru wa yajlisu wa yaqulu rabbighfirli
Naam. Yukabbiru, he says, Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. Wa yajlisu, yani, he says Allahu Akbar, and then he sits. Yani, after saying Subhana Rabbi al-A'la in prostration, he says Takbir, and he sits. Yani, he sits up. From prostration, he goes to the sitting position, and he says in the sitting position, Rabbighfirli, that is, oh my Lord, forgive me. Oh my Lord, forgive me. And the scholars of Sunnah say that the intent of this hadith, the hadith that this is narrating, is not that he said it twice. Rather, he said Rabbighfirli many times. The Prophet ﷺ, when he sat in between two prostrations, according to the hadith in Bukhari, he sat just as long as he prostrated. So he didn't sit that long and only say Rabbighfirli. Rather, this example of what he was saying. How many times he said it? Many times. For as long as he sat there, he said Rabbighfirli, or other supplications that may be said, that's narrated authentically. The point I just want to make here is that what? This the hadith that this is narrated in does not mean he said it twice. No. Rather, it means that he said it. This is what he was saying while he was sitting in between two prostrations. And then yukabbiru wa yasjudu, he made takbir and prostrated. Thaniyatan, a second time, wa yaqulu, and he was saying in it the same thing he said in the first time, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, yani, O my Lord, yani, I declare you to be free of imperfections, the Most High. And he said it three times. Wa yukabbiru wa yaqumu li raka'ati athaniyati, and then he says Allahu Akbar, and he stands up for the second raka'ah. He stands up for the second rak'ah. This is one complete rak'ah. And next week, inshallah, we'll start on the top of page 14, where it says, هَذِهِ رَكَعَةٌ. This is a rak'ah, a complete rak'ah. So next week, somebody remind us, we'll start on the top of page 14, where it says, هَذِهِ رَكَعَةٌ. If you don't have Sifat al-Salat, any the description of the prayer of the Prophet, Sifat al-Salat al-Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, written by Shaykh al-Albani. It is an excellent book that is of tremendous benefits. If you can purchase this book or get it online, download it free. I think you get it online, download it free. You don't even have to buy it. But it has a lot of narrations concerning the Salat that are not well known, and they are verified, and references are given. And there's also some tremendously beneficial commentary in the footnotes of this book that probably you don't read in any other book. And although there are other good books, mashallah, and Sheikh Ibn Baz has a simpler book that's easier, yani, for people in the beginning, Kayfiyat Salat al-Nabi, and Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen also has an excellent book on Salat. And there are other scholars who have written books on Salat, good books, there are a lot of good books. But this is one book that, yani, I don't say it's the only book that you need to get, but it's one book that definitely has a lot of benefits, Sifat al-Salat al-Nabi, Shaykh al-Albani. If you don't have it, it's worth downloading, at least. I mean, it's worth buying, but if you can download it free, maybe you don't need to buy it, right? Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.